Welcome back to This Week on Channel 9. We're going to have a great show for you today. This is Vlad.
And this is Nicola.
And we have a great story. Let's start with Computex.
Computex 2017.
What happened there, Vlad?
Basically, we, with our partners, announced a bunch of new devices and I would say new platforms, hardware platforms.
That's right. Well, there was actually a lot of cool news that happened there. We announced some of the new devices for the
mixed
MR
reality
stuff.
That's yeah. Right. We announced the new device with Dell and another one with Asus. Mm-hmm. I like the Asus one specifically. It's quite cool from the design perspective. They all based on our mixed reality hardware platform with the HoloLens sensors in there for 6 degrees of freedom inside out tracking.
Yeah, it's cool to see all these cool different designs and people have their own vision of what this should look like and should be futuristic. And I like the one that Dell came up with. It's all white and all clean looking, which is not,
it's
in this
not
picture.
On this picture. Yeah.
No, but I thought it would look pretty. It was different than what the other ones have created, which is cool. We also talked about always connected PCs and some of the partnerships we're doing with our silicon partners like Qualcomm and Intel to create PCs that are always connected no matter what they are. Either they're working on ARM or Intel or whatever it is. So that's a great news for anybody that always wants to be connected, no matter on the laptop or whatever it is.
Yeah, and people are used to it with the phones, but yeah, for laptops or tablets, it's not that easy because they just have a different architecture. You want to put them in sleep because they have like GPUs and CPUs that consume a lot of power.
That's right.
Of your battery. And they just coming with new hardware, I would say, designs.
That's right. And we also had to see some of the cool new stuff that's coming out in terms of laptops and devices from the different partners that we have. There's some all-in-ones and some new cool two-in-one laptops. So there's a great blog post. I encourage everybody to go on and just read the blog post. And there's all kinds of news and links to all kinds of new stuff that went out. So it was a great event.
Yeah.
All kinds of cool stuff coming out.
Very good.
Let's talk a little bit about the development. So there's a new blog post on Visual Studio Blog that talks about Telerik UI for EWP, which is nothing new. We've mm-hmm. had the UI for EWP come out. It was open sourced several months ago.
February.
Yeah, anybody can go on GitHub and contribute to it. But the cool stuff here is they work with the Visual Studio team to make these controls available on design time tooling. So that way, like you can do with the SDK controls, you can just go drag and drop controls from Telerik, from UI for EWP directly into your XAML. It just makes it super cool, and I'm hoping we can do the same thing for other control toolkits as well. Yeah.
Awesome. Going forward, bots. It's a very hot topic, chatbots in particular. And there was a great post by Waze, if I pronounce it right, spell it right.
Waze, a fact.
About developing a chatbot using Microsoft Bot Framework. And it's, again, we've seen a lot of information yep. and guides how to build it. And and in this particular case, it's about bot framework, Lewis. So the bot actually understands in the intention and yep. the actions user wants bot to
You don't have to hard code yeah. the exact sentences
exactly,
or words
exactly.
that people have to write in. You can just say, this is some examples of what I think. Mm-hmm. And my bot should understand variations of this.
Exactly.
So Lewis is great in that. And what I like about this blog post is he goes from signing up, from creating the whole bot on the bot framework and using Node.js to create it and then publish it and test it at the end.
Yeah, Node.js is also a good thing to have in this blog post because, yeah. again, it's different. Our samples are usually towards C#, and which is not bad, but we want to cover all the possible languages.
Different people like yeah. different things.
Exactly.
Like I speak English and you speak a version of English.
Sort of.
Anyway, so we talked about GVFS last week. There was a blog post, yeah. but there's a new blog post by Edward this week that talks about some more details about why we went over to that route and how Git was extended and mm-hmm. how a lot of the controls, a lot of the commands in Git work with GVFS. It's a great blog post if you're interested in how the work that our engineering team has done to get this to work.
Awesome continuation. Docker for .NET developers. So Docker is basically, when we start talking about Docker, and people say it's more like a DevOps, IT pro stuff. It's all about deployment. I, as a developer, what do I have in common with Docker?
I mean, Docker is new. Containers has become very popular in the past few years. Mm-hmm. And I'm ashamed to admit that I haven't really spent a lot of time with them. So
same here.
It's good, but there's a good thing that we have videos and all kinds of blog posts out there. There's a new blog post series by Steve Gordon that talks about, the first blog post is about what Docker is and just takes it in context for .NET developers. And then he has other blog posts after that talks about how to get started and everything. So if you haven't done Docker development yet and you just want to get started with containers, it's a great blog post to get started with. And then speaking of containers, if you're doing Docker these days, you most likely need some kind of tools to instrument these containers. And Kubernetes has been one of the best ways to do that. But there's been a lot of outcry about how Kubernetes is not the easiest thing to get started with. So Gabe Monroe announced a whole new project called Draft that once you already have Kubernetes set up, allows you to instrument Kubernetes and instrument containers much more easier. It has a whole blog post on how to get started with Draft. So if you are doing Kubernetes and if you're doing Docker images, this is another great add-on for your, tool belt.
I love it how we make it better. A Tale of Two Kernels. That's actually quite an interesting blog post. Basically, it tells a story about how we deal with the issues in the kernel and the drivers and basically the low-level Windows stuff. And the story is that once you have a certain issue that only affects probably a couple of machines, not a couple of particular PCs, but like models, how we deal with that, how our drivers team deal with that, how they're trying to understand what the issue is, how they deep dive down to BIOS and hardware. And this is actually quite a complicated thing. And they just tell this story and for you to have an idea how complex it is. Yeah. And you may say, oh, I have this blue screen, solve it, Microsoft. And like, sometimes it takes a couple of months or even more just to understand what's going on.
That's right. And the issues that two of these people had were unique, and it was interesting to do kind of detective work that the engineering team did to discover, okay, we have two instances of this. What is similar about this? Okay, they have the same OEM, different memory, but the same CPU. Let's try these different things. Let's go ahead and get one of these people to start, try to debug the kernel and see how things are working, and going to get that working. Let's go ahead and engage the OEM and try to get them to try to reproduce this. So it's interesting to see what it takes to actually find some of these. And I'm always curious to see some of these bugs that it seems like they're impossible to find. And it, at the end, it ends up being like something simple, like, oh, yeah, obviously it was that. But, you know.
Yeah, about 10 years ago, I was talking to my friend working in one of the hardware manufacturers. And he was working on the software side of that. So basically, he was doing drivers and a lot of things. He was telling me the stories about like how complex it is to make this thing working on low level with hardware. Because it's always different. Like if we're talking about the phone, it depends like how you hold your phone, and like the software works differently depending on how you hold your phone. And as a developer, it's quite hard. And regular like high level developers, like which like most of us right are, we don't think about it. We're just like there's an issue, let's fix it. And when you work with the hardware, that's actually a lot more complicated. You can't just go and fix stuff.
Right. So it's always nice to see one of these stories then. Brings the experience out to everybody so they can actually get to know about these issues, which is good.
Picks of the week.
My pick of the week is, it's a bit consumerish. It's actually a garage project that's an app on the Xbox One. It's a UWP application for news. So it's called the news app for Xbox. I think it's called the news app. But it's essentially a way for you to get your news on Xbox One really easily. You can select what stories you want to get what sources you want your stories to come from. It starts to autoplay all your videos, so you don't have to actually touch the remote or the controller to actually choose new things. You can actually just have it play in the background, even if you just want to have something playing, it will constantly play. So it's a great new application. And cool thing I chose this app is because I want to get a little awareness about the garage. If you click on the link that's with this pick of the week, this actually takes you to the garage page that we have on our website and goes through all the different garage apps that are done by Microsoft employees outside of their normal work.
They've done a lot.
So it's a cool way to see what kind of stuff that all the employees are working on their free time, essentially.
Yeah. The thing I like about this app, it has a good news section. Right? No bad news in this app, right? Yeah, I assume there's something on the, like, if you go to the right, there is a fake news section. There must be one.
That would be a great feature. Pull request.
Yeah, we should do it.
What's your pick of the week?
My pick of the week. It's actually quite special. I'll be honest, despite the fact that I'm very much like excited about AI and all this machine learning stuff, and then like I keep playing with that and reading. So I pretend I understand it. That was quite hard for me to understand. But essentially, this blog post is about the work that Microsoft Research is doing around real-world understanding. And it's not the usual way we're talking about real-world understanding, like semantic segmentation, understanding what's going on around us. It's about learning when you don't have enough data of what's going on around. Because when we talk about self-driving cars, they have sensors, they have training data to understand, oh, these are like lanes, there are like road signs, there are people, and they know enough data to train to like in order to understand where like which object is what. In the real world, we people, we actually learn on data that we don't quite understand. We just try and we see apparently it's that thing behaves like this, and we just do some assumptions, and we actually are able to operate in this kind of world. Robots or bots and AI, as they implement it now, are not that flexible. So the work they're doing is actually giving this ability to learn on the completely unknown data and operate in it.
Yeah, it's interesting to see how the connections they're making between how the way robots or AI works these days and the way that the human brain works these days, and try to make these connections to try to get that learning from the way that we as humans work, bring it over to this digital world. So it's just is amazing that, and I'm not going to pretend that I understand what they're talking about in this blog post. I tried reading it, and I need a few more times to actually understand exactly what they're talking about. But it is a good blog post nonetheless. So I think that's it. Thanks, everybody, for joining us for another week of This Week on Channel 9. And hopefully we'll see you next week.
And have fun.